and people can see it and look at the gold prices that we're going to be able to use in that PEA. And then for timelines for permitting, once you have a PEA or a PFS, you need a study to be able to begin your permitting process. A reasonable timeline, based on other examples, was to be able to start construction within 4 years of submitting your application. And that assumes you've done all the hard work, you've worked with the community, you've worked with the First Nation, you've designed a good project, which my team is working very hard on. And in our PEA, much of the work we've already done to PFS level. So, for a safe jurisdiction, Canada, that's a reasonable timeline. There is a little bit of an advantage in that if somebody like a Hecla or the person that buys the Eagle Mine were to purchase Banyan, they may have an advantage of a year or more in that permitting timeline because they have an existing permit and existing relationships with the First Nations. We put out our new resource with a updated geological model. We cleaned up that ownership. We got 100%. They no longer owned any shares. That was received very, very positively. Although a lot of our disconnect in our share price right now, because we are still pretty undervalued. We're still about, well, I guess in US dollars, we're probably somewhere around $45 per ounce when gold is how, like over 4,500 today.
Good day, everybody. We have Tara Christie, President CEO of Banyan Gold, and it's an exciting time for gold, but I'm curious as to learn more about Banyan. Tara, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. It's a pretty exciting day in the gold and silver market. So, it's a pretty great day for Banyan.
Tara, besides banyan from, being from a banyan tree, which I just learned what a banyan tree is just now. If you can, before we actually get to your story, if you can just tell us about your website and your where you're trading your tickers, just for our listeners.
Sure, our website, www.banyangold.com. Ticker, our primarily trade on the TSX Venture, BYN, but also on the OTCQB, BYAGF. Look for us in both those places and reach out to me directly if you have more questions after this. I'm T Christie at banyangold.com.
Tara, thank you for that. I reached out to you because as an investor, I'm intrigued by your company. I wanted to learn more about it, and I appreciate your time to for our listeners to kind of learn more about you guys as I do myself. If you could just give us a 30-second overview, where is the project, what stage is it, exploration, development, and why does it matter?
So Banyan is located in Canada's Yukon. It's in that same belt of tombstone intrusive rocks that go from, the Yukon through to Alaska. So same kind of geology as Fort Knox, which has been a legendary long-producing mine. We have a almost 8 million ounces, 2.2 million ounces in indicated, 5.4 million ounces of inferred, and at a 0.3 cutoff, it has a 0.63 grade. But if you look a little deeper in that, at a 0.55 cutoff, which is what you'd probably mine, you can see there's already 4.55 million ounces of a gram. Our project has really nice moderate topography. We're right beside two mines, Hecla's high-grade silver, and another mine called the Eagle Mine that's currently for sale. We already have roads on the property. Hydro power lines cross our two deposits. And if you were there, you would have four bars on your cell phone. So infrastructure is really important from the capital cost and operating of a mine. And I don't think you can find many projects with better. And we're in a jurisdiction where two mines have been permitted recently and are right beside us. So we're not, one of these projects where you think about ours in the middle of nowhere. We've got fabulous infrastructure. Our project would be an open pit project. So mineralization starts right on surface. The current pit goes to about 200 meters deep. We only have one deep hole down to 650 meters. And yep, it was mineralized all the way down. But we're still at that exploration and discovery and growth phase, and we can see this deposit's open. Actually, we've had some of our most exciting holes after finally getting back to drilling on one of our two deposits, the Airstrip deposit, which we made a high-grade discovery last year of like 16 meters of 9 grams, 40 meters of 4 grams. And so we focused 50% of our drilling last year into that. And we drilled to December, so we still have probably 112 holes to come from this year, and we'll be drilling again in March. So pretty exciting. And on top of that gold, we also have a pretty significant silver discovery. We actually found it in 2021, but our new model that we put out here in 2025 has just given us some new insights on how these silver veins are hosted. So, and it very high grade, 14,000 grams, so 14 kilograms, 11,000. And yes, that was only over 1.2 meters, but it was in a broader 100 meter interval of almost 300 grams. So with these silver prices, $85, and a silver mine that could use some more, or a mill right beside us, I think it's also a really important catalyst for us for this year. So that's the overview. So we're both in that exploration excitement, because we're making new high grades and we're moving towards that developer phase, which at this gold price is going to make us a very attractive target.
So what you have in the ground is gold and silver. If you can, I know you mentioned a bit, if you can just go through it again with the grade scale, the upside, and just kind of your closest neighbors, the realistic comps of what you think you're looking at.
So my closest neighbor is Hecla because they're actually on our boundary, and then the Eagle Mine, which is a heap leach mine that's currently for sale, and other close neighbors that have similar types of deposits are Snowline. Very similar. We'd have a very similar processing flow sheet as Snowline. Same type of deposit. With the key difference between us is that we haven't found our intrusion yet. We've got this almost 8 million ounces of gold near surface, and it's in the metasediments that are somewhere above or around the intrusion. So, what are some of our comps? Well, some of our comps are probably some of the developers like Artemis. They just built. They chose to do a phased development. Fort Knox is a really important comp too because it's the same style of deposit. They built a mill, and that mill's run for a very long, long time and been very profitable. So, and they're kind of in the same northern. If you drew a line across the north, they'd have kind of similar probably operating costs as we would have because they're that same part of northern Alaska.
Tara, you mentioned the open pit. Love to. What's your timeline for the permitting, and why'd you guys decide on the open pit, and what advantages does that give you, and have you thought through the obstacles that come with that?
So open pit wasn't a big choice because this mineralization starts right on surface, like literally very low strip ratio. And if you look at our sections on our website, you can see the starter pits, plus 2 gram material, plus 1 gram material right at surface. So, and this kind of very large deposit, with some lower grade, but also these significant zones of higher grade. And this last year's drill program, we targeted 5 million ounces of 1 gram that we thought would go into our mine plan. So in terms of phase, we're going to update our resource based on last year's drilling here in the second quarter, and then second half we'll have our maiden PEA, and I think that will be a very important catalyst for us. And you see that in lots of mining companies, their share price generally starts to go up as they work towards that PEA, and people can see it and look at the gold prices that we're going to be able to use in that PEA. And then for timelines for permitting, once you have a PEA or a PFS, you need a study to be able to begin your permitting process. A reasonable timeline, based on other examples, was to be able to start construction within 4 years of submitting your application. And that assumes you've done all the hard work, you've worked with the community, you've worked with the First Nation, you've designed a good project, which my team is working very hard on. And in our PEA, much of the work we've already done to PFS level. So, for a safe jurisdiction, Canada, that's a reasonable timeline. There is a little bit of an advantage in that if somebody like a Hecla or the person that buys the Eagle Mine were to purchase Banyan, they may have an advantage of a year or more in that permitting timeline because they have an existing permit and existing relationships with the First Nation. So, that's a dynamic that's hard to predict out there. And I think in this market, I'm still waiting to see all the big transactions start to happen. Who's going to be the first movers?
Tara, you mentioned 4 bars. If you're to take your cell phone out there, if you can kind of give us a little bit more of a picture on the infrastructure that's there. If we were to take a drone out, what will we see and how developed is it?
Sure. If you were to take a drone out and you could start flying right from the community of Mayo, that's only 40 kilometers away, you'd go right over the hydro dam, that is supplying the grid power, and that grid power grid is connected to the whole territory's power grid, and they are talking about connecting it to the BC grid. That's a federal government priority that's been announced with all this recent wanting to spend money on infrastructure. And then you keep flying that drone along the highway, and eventually you'll fly over our power line deposit. So that's the larger of the two deposits, and it's more the sheeted veins. And you'll be over all kinds of roads going right and left, including the road which goes to the Eagle Mine, which is a year-round government-maintained road. That power line goes right along the highway as well. It's 138 kVA line. It's only energized to 69. So a power line that's only energized to half its capacity is carrying green power from the hydro dam as going right over the property. And then if you kept flying, you'd go over our airstrip deposit and take a bit of a veer up the highway to the right. You'll get right to Hecla's mine. It's only a 10-minute drive down the road to their mill, which is their Birmingham mine. And it's a 300 ton per day existing mill that would process silver mineralization. And I think that's also important to say that the gold mineralization came in first, and the silver kind of cuts across it like the icing filling the crack in a cake. And we could potentially have multiple veins of it. And that's what we're looking for. So they would potentially be able to be mined discreetly rather than separately. And the gold that we have, it would be a mill project. So a very conventional CIL type mill. You know, you grind up the rock, you treat it in vats, and then you stack the tailings. So pretty well-known technology, not controversial, and certainly so that's what's existing there. The cell phone towers are located in the community of Mayo as well as in Keno, so we get really strong signal where we are. And there's even fiber optic cable which goes out to that Eagle Mine along the power line. So pretty exceptional infrastructure and really moderate topography. You'll notice there's no big rivers, no lakes, no big mountains, no glaciers, you know, all those things that you think about in northern Canada. It's pretty boring, flat topography, which is good for
Well,
mining,
boring is
very
good.
good for building mines.
Tara, you mentioned having gold and silver, potential multiple silver veins. I'm wondering if that's factored into the price. Where is the company today in terms of market cap, and where do you see the biggest disconnect or opportunity for investors?
Well, you hit on it. Our market cap, we're just about 500 million today. We're finally seeing our share price catch up. And a bit of our story, is what happened in 2024 when that mine that's now for sale had challenges. There was an overhang generally, and they had 75, or we had 75% of our property, but they had their 25%. And so our share price, even though gold price was going up, hadn't really moved. And then in the fall of 2025, we had some major catalysts. We put out our new resource with a updated geological model. We cleaned up that ownership. We got 100%. They no longer owned any shares. That was received very, very positively. Although a lot of our disconnect in our share price right now, because we are still pretty undervalued. We're still about, well, I guess in US dollars, we're probably somewhere around $45 per ounce when gold is out like over 4,500 today. That's a pretty big disconnect. And part of that story is that we didn't market until we cleaned up those two things. We got a new geological model, we cleaned up the ownership, we could say there were no shares. And so that's really where there's the value for us, is we're really just getting out and telling the story to a whole bunch of new audiences. And even some of our existing shareholders still have some of the misconceptions about, how this is going to be mined, whether those shares are still held. So that's, I think, why it's still early days for us. You look at some of our comps and, two other companies right beside us in the Yukon with the same style of mineralization, Snowline, they're over $300 Canadian per ounce. So we're about $60 Canadian. And Sitka, they're hired about $125 per ounce. So for me as a CEO, I certainly need to at least catch up to my neighbors and get to that kind of NAV. We're maybe what, a 0.16 NAV right now, if you were to look at the consensus analyst reports. And we do get coverage from Canaccord, Cormark, and Paradigm, all who have higher price targets than we are right now because they can see that potential. And a lot of our peers are trading kind of 0.4 NAV. So, there's that value gap. And I think, well, you probably know the retail investor hasn't twigged to the fact that gold's $4,500 an ounce. We did our resource at $2,050 per ounce. We're going to be able to update that resource and almost add like $1,000. Like, that's unbelievable.
That's like
And the
printing
price
money.
of silver, we don't even have silver in our our resource, and it will be in our updated resource now
Okay.
that we have more holes in it, because it was only $20 an ounce,
What?
$85 an ounce. And you hear what people are saying, that could be really exciting.
When is that coming out, the with the new prices?
Second quarter is our
Good
plan,
part.
yeah, to have the updated resource. And then the PEA will be as soon as we can in the second half, sometime in the fall.
I'm sure that's not going to hurt you at all.
No, and we're sitting with almost $40 million in the bank, which I know you were just about to ask me.
Yeah.
And we're going to be starting with four drills, drilling March 1st. We're, unlike lots of northern stories, we can drill year round. So,
Can you
my
repeat
team is,
that again? How much money do you have, and is that US?
Canadian form, just under $40 million.
Okay. And then how long does that carry you? Are you fully funded
Oh,
for?
into 2027, we're fully funded. Unless we do something crazy like drill a ridiculous number of extra holes, that'll get us through our 40,000 meters, our resource update, and our PEA, and leave us with a healthy treasury for 2027. I think this is a real interesting setup for companies like Banyan that have these rare, large deposits. That's pretty rare. Like over 8 million ounces is rare in North America, a safe jurisdiction. That's the kind of project, that can be a tier one asset, produce 300,000 to 400,000 ounces per year, run for, you base your mine plan on 10 years, but it runs for 20 or 30 because of the scale of the deposit. And those are the kind of generational opportunities that the really big mining companies are looking for.
Tara, if you can come with me to the share structure. If you can walk me through the cap table, shares outstanding, fully diluted, key option, warrants, any meaningful insider and institutional ownership. I know that you're quite invested, but if you can tell us anyone else that
Sure.
you're able to share.
Sure. So our current shares outstanding are 413 million shares. We have no warrants. We haven't done financings with warrants. And if you actually look at our last two financings, they were very advantageous for our existing shareholders. Two financings ago, that was 15% above market with no warrants for a new shareholder to come in, of which I participated above market, if you look at my SETI filing. And then the most recent one, it was also at market and above market. And that was a really exciting new or strategic investor, Alpayana, a private mining family from Peru. They operate mines, and they made it purely as an investment because they did a site visit last year and they said, "Tara, you are so cheap. I think the problem is you don't have enough money, and I want to be a shareholder. Can you take some money?" And so they became an 8.6% shareholder, which is a great vetting. They understand mining. They came and they looked at the site. They understand the geology. They understand topography. So that to me was a great vetting. I have three high net worth individuals of 7, 4, and 5%, which have been long-term investors, great names in the mining space, who don't want me to talk about their names, but I know they've got my back. Osisko Development, also a very smart group of people that understand mining, have been a long-time shareholder. And then Franklin Gold and Precious Metals, just around 8% as well. And as you said, I'm a 3.5% shareholder, and I bought my position in the market. I'm the third CEO of this company. So I've put my money where my mouth is, and I think I'm truly aligned with shareholders because I've put over $2.5 million of my own cash into buying shares, participating in financing and support the companies. Even when I've exercised an option, I have not sold a share to date. So that to me is, I really am aligned. I'm going to make my money alongside my shareholders in the share price. And that's really what drives me. Also, every director on my board owns stock, which gives us a pretty significant insider position. So, and I'm starting to see some new names come in with that updated resource and cleaning up the ownership. I'm really pleased to see some of the new institutions that have actually been purchasing in the market, at these share prices. So that to me gives me lots of confidence in where we're going.
Tara, you mentioned the year 2024, and you mentioned the phrase cleaning up. If you can expound on a little bit more of maybe what our listeners or even myself am missing, what happened in 24 and what's being cleaned up.
So in 2024, that mine that's for sale, the Eagle Mine, had a landslide, and it ended up the government took over and was doing some of the cleanup of the site, and it's really more reputational that people were like, "Oh my goodness, was this a good jurisdiction to mine in?" And I think that's really changed. We have a brand new government there. That property, they've said, yes, they want to sell it, get it back into production. So all of those things are positive moves for the market. And those signals were really important going through the fall for us. So, and for us doing our own, getting our property 100% title of the property, making sure that we had good shareholders, because that having somebody in the shareholder where there's uncertainty if they're going to sell their shares doesn't help you. So that was all very positive moves for us, and it set us up for this year. And it's partly why, though, we haven't re-rated to the same level as our peers. But we're working on that. We're going to have a pretty aggressive marketing campaign here through the spring of 2026.
Tara, if you can tell us about yourself a bit and just kind of, you mentioned you're the third CEO. I don't know what your background is, but if you can tell us how you kind of got plugged in, your experience you come with, and maybe a little bit about your team that you're surrounded with that will help you, get from point A to point B.
That's a really good question, because I invest in companies that I know the people and I know what their experience and their success has been. So I'm a geotechnical engineer by training. I have a master's degree in geotechnical engineering. I've spent most of my career in gold and working in Canada's north. I have done a little bit in copper and zinc and a few other things, but primarily my passion has been gold. I've done a lot of work with environmental assessment, working with First Nations. I ran a private gold mine for a while. Learned all the different aspects of the business from a fairly early age. I was appointed to the board of Banyan in 2011, but it wasn't until 2016, with the acquisition of what's now our secondary asset, that I became the CEO. And that was really when I knew we needed to find another project. And I knew about the Ormaque project. It was then two projects that were held by Alexco and then Victoria Gold. They were non-core to both of them. And so by 2017, I did a deal to option both of them and put the land package together. And it's a bit funny, I knew about them because way back in 2013, so 3 years before I became the CEO, I purchased an estate that had alluvialasses, surface gold, that had the alluvial on top of this. And that's why I knew about it, was because I'd been doing my homework on these other types of products and had purchased that. So then, the fast forward, we made our discovery real holes in 2019, so not that long ago. Put together our first resource in 2020. And since then, that's where I've been building my team from. We had a really good solid field team. Last year, I brought on my new VP of Exploration, Duncan Mackay. He comes from Yamana, where they were very, very successful and successfully taken over, and has real experience in this stage of company, the $500 million company, which is starting to think about development while also doing exploration and really optimizing the drilling. I have Kai Woloshin, who's in Whitehorse. He's an expert in permitting baseline. He's running our studies and our PEA. He's got his roots in the community, as well as a really strong understanding of projects and mining. So, the right guy for the team. I also have Jasmine, my VP of Corporate Communications. She also lives in Whitehorse, understands the community, and works hard. And of course, my CFO, David Rutt, has been a really strong long-term supporter and is a big key part. So, as we go, though, we're also building out our field team, making sure we have the right people as well as our community people. So, it's all coming together, and we're starting to really grow into a company that I think is going to be able to advance this project.
Tara, any other catalysts or news the market should be watching for? And then where are you trading and where can people find you?
Sure. Look for our catalysts this year of our resource update and our PEA. On top of that, PEA second half, we're going to have all our drilling. We'll drill 40,000 meters on the project starting in March. So that'll give us drill results well through 2026. We're trading on the TSX Venture, BYN, and on the OTCQB, BYAGF. And we're currently about $1.20, $1.22 Canadian. So on sale for Americans with your strong dollar. And you can reach out to me for more questions. And at this time, I think we're getting a lot of inbounds from new investors into the mining space. And I think some of your questions were really valid for them. Who's on your team and what experience do you have? What infrastructure do you have? How big is the deposit? Those are the questions that investors need to be asking. So I appreciate you asking them, because that's how, we get the story. story out about this project, and I think it is an exceptional project.
Tara, just for our listeners, Tara has not, Tara and Banyan Gold have not paid for this interview, or we're not, they're not currently sponsors, although that may change. I'm not currently an investor. We're not investors, although that may change. Please do your own due diligence. This is not investment advice. One of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Tara with questions, follow their story. I just want Tara, thanks so much for your time and letting me learn about Banyan Gold. For everyone, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined, and find good companies. Stay smart and don't just invest in shoddy companies that are out there. Do your due diligence. There are some good ones. There are some not so good ones, as we all know.
Yep.
But Tara, thanks so much for your time, for telling your story.
Thank you.